Please be seated. I don't have to tell you that we live in a noisy world, a world of much activity with so many things competing for our attention. There are so many things just right there waiting to distract us. I know that many of us feel overwhelmed for all these grabs at our attention. So much of our consumerist culture, and this is especially evident in social media, is all about grabbing our attention and holding our gaze, and then stirring within us desire for things. It touches, in fact, deep desires within us and can promote things we think we want, or maybe an image of a way of life that we wished was ours. It can tempt us with things, with goods, with the promise that we will be fulfilled if we have them, or maybe we'll even get that ideal life we hope for. Now, I want to be clear before you think I'm decrying social media. I'm not. Social media is an important tool. It is helpful to us. It helps us be connected. And certainly for us as a parish, social media is now essential. It provides a platform for us to worship together when we cannot all be here in person. And I'm especially mindful of this morning when there's ice all over the world around us. You intrepid souls are here. But then through our live stream, parishioners of the Redeemer who can't be with us are joining us. St. Thomas Church in Greenville is joining us. And we have people around the world who every week tune in and are connected with our worship because of social media. So I'm not decrying it. It is a blessing to be able to be connected in this way. But despite that, there is danger. There's danger in our social media culture, in the way it holds our attention even without our realizing it. How it stirs deep longings in us, bombarding us with advertisement, prompting products before us that promise to satisfy everything that we need, all our deep-seated longings. And of course, at their heart, that's all about spending money supporting someone else. All of this hides, I think, what is really going on. It masks the genesis of our deep longings, because our deep desire ultimately is for relationship with God. That desire is planted within us by God. God creates all of us, all people, with a longing for communion with God. As St. Augustine says in his Confessions, and I quote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you," unquote. God gives us not only that deep-seated desire, that longing for relationship with God, but God also gives us the gift of free will, wanting us to freely choose relationship with God. Now, of course, the other side of that is it means we can also turn away from God. We can choose other means to answer that deep longing within us. We can even go so far as to choose life apart from God. In this noisy world with so many voices competing for our attention, we who follow Jesus are called to be intentional, to intentionally create space for God to speak. Space where we can listen for God's invitation to deep communion, to deep life-giving relationship. In our first lesson, the prophet Jeremiah reminds us that life apart from God is like a shrub planted in the desert, trying to thrive in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. I don't think Jeremiah can get any clearer. That shrub is not going to survive. But then Jeremiah adds, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit." That's a place where the tree can grow and thrive and prosper. And that's echoed in Psalm 1 that we just chanted. Those in relationship with God, we are told, are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. It is God alone who can satiate our deep thirst. It is God alone who can satisfy the deep hunger within us. And so we are called to resist the offers of this world. They ultimately are fleeting. They will not lead us in the path in which we can thrive. They're like that salty desert. But this is not easy. The voices that clamor for our attention are strong and they are seductive. And in subtle ways, they can captivate us and hold our attention. But thanks be to God, we do not do this alone. We do this together in community, and we engage in this struggle with Jesus beside us, the one who was tempted in every way in this life as we are, the one who shows us how to live this demanding calling. Jesus shows us the path of true life. And we have glimpses of that in our gospel today, where Jesus has spent the night praying on a mountain before calling his 12 apostles. And throughout the gospels, we hear how Jesus regularly takes prayer away from the bustle, from the noises, from those things trying to grab his attention, and dwells in quiet and in prayer. After that time, when Jesus comes down from the mountain with his apostles, there is a great crowd waiting for him on the plain. These are ordinary people, and they hunger for the words Jesus offers. Some are ill, or they're plagued by unclean spirits, and they desire healing. We're told that there's so much power in Jesus, just touching him, people are healed. And so it's no surprise there's a great crowd waiting for him. They're clamoring to get near him. And Jesus comes down from that mountain right to where the people are on that plain. He goes into the midst of the people. And Jesus is with them in their hunger, their thirst, and in their need. And then Jesus preaches, offering those familiar words of the Beatitudes, those statements that begin, "Blessed are." Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who weep. And blessed are those who are hated and reviled." Jesus is teaching how God sees humanity, how God sees us as we really are, how God looks on those who are poor, who lack resources in this life, and sees the blessed of God. How those who weep, who know grief and despair, are blessed of God. How those who are reviled for living the gospel like the prophets before them are blessed of God. As I said before, Greek, which is the original language of this gospel, Greek has meaning so much more subtle and complex than our English. And in the original Greek, the word for blessed has much more of a sense, a much richer sense than we have in English. It has the sense of divine bliss, of true happiness. Being blessed is living as God intends, living as God creates all humanity to live. Being blessed is finding our true selves. Blessed means trusting in God alone. Blessedness turns the values and ways of this world upside down. The blessedness found in God is about having complete and total reliance on God. in the Beatitudes, those who are blessed are those who have little else to rely on. They have little else in this world. They have little or no material wealth. They have few communities of support. But they have God. And in their complete reliance upon God, they are blessed. Jesus calls his followers to discipleship that is defined by complete and total reliance on God. It requires giving up everything to follow Jesus. And to make this clear, and how important this is, Jesus adds four statements of woe to the Beatitudes. Jesus says, "Woe to those who are rich. Woe to those who are full now. Woe to those who are laughing, and those who are spoken well of, for they are all satisfied now." Now, I want to be clear, Jesus is not saying this to instill guilt, to cause anxiety, but is stating reality. Those who are satisfied now don't need to rely on God in this life. They get no reason to. Wealth and possessions can so completely satisfy us that we have no need for God. Wanting nothing, we can be blinded to our thirst for God. We can even forget about God. We can become lax in our worship of God. There's no urgency when you're full to look to God to fill what is empty. There's no urgency to ask God to save and deliver us if we already are comfortable, if our pursuit of material things occupies us and appears to fill us. I find it no surprise that as wealth and material comfort has grown in Western countries of this world, religious practice and church attendance has declined. Some observe that poor Christians in other parts of the world have vibrant faith, despite living with great poverty. Perhaps their faith in God is so strong precisely because they are poor and rely so strongly on God. For those of us who live in the West, who are middle class, these woes can be uncomfortable, even hard to hear. Maybe they seem poignant, maybe even directed at us. They are a reminder of God's priorities and of our call to follow Jesus. They call us to give the whole of ourselves, all of our lives, in following. And they challenge the assumptions and the values of this world. The Beatitudes remind us that being blessed of God is not about material things. Material goods satisfy only in the short term. They cannot satisfy our deep longing. To be blessed of God is to rely completely, totally on God, allowing nothing to distract us, nothing to replace our deep need for God. It means living by loving God with our entire heart and mind and soul and will. It means loving God with all of our being so that we are rooted in God like that tree planted by a stream of flowing water. That tree that has so much water that its leaves do not wither and it bears much fruit. And the woes that Jesus says to us today remind us that it is easy for comfort, for abundance of material things to cover our need for God, to even replace God at the center of our lives. Our society's materialism and consumerism can overtake us, seducing us with empty promises and displacing God. And so Jesus offers the Beatitudes and the statements of woe as a statement of what God sees when looking at humanity. His words make clear God's priorities. And Jesus offers his words to us with the assurance that things will not always be as they are. That one day God's realm will be ushered in fully, and there will be no one who is poor. All people will have what they need. One day the rich will be set free from the burden of their wealth and their possessions. And until then, we are called to look to Jesus and to follow him. Jesus, who calls us to give up everything to follow his way of love, putting God first in our lives, which will bring untold joy to us. It is the way of true life, living as God creates us to live. As faithful disciples, our deepest longings are filled, and we become agents of God's justice even now, in this moment, in this world. And it all begins by saying yes to God's invitation, saying yes to setting out on the road with Jesus and following him in his way of love. Amen.